So as you know, this is my first sermon here as a pastor. I have preached here once, at least once before, maybe. I think that's the only one I remember is several years ago, speaking about James and being doers of the word. But I think you'll find that I'm completely different than our other two pastors, Bob and Dan, in a good way. I know. So, I mean, Pastor Bob's been preaching, what, since you were born, pretty much? Yeah. And Dan has been a public speaker for many, many years. I'm not a born orator at all. It's a struggle in some ways, but in others it's not. I'm blessed to be able to come up here and share God's word. I just always want to give him glory. And I hope you saw, I mean, what I am, a natural born thing. Since the day I could sing, I think I pretty much just love singing. Many years, that wasn't for the Lord, but once I found Third Day, that was the end of that. of course, yeah, we'll get to some of that a little later on in the sermon here. But I just hope that you will find, like I said, I'm complimentary to Dan and Bob in their preaching style and in their gifts. So I do ask that you bear with me as I grow in this new role and just learn how to prepare and to speak and get going. So thank you. Some of you here I've known for a long time. Deb and I and Sophie and Andrew came here in around, I guess it was 2005. Or you were 11, so 2005, yeah. So and some of you I knew even before that. I know I've known Robin much longer than that, and some of the other people here. But some of you I've only known since we came back from Haiti, and I look forward to getting to know you, and as new people come in, getting to know them as well. But one thing I don't think I've ever shared is my testimony. I'm going to try and keep it brief, but it's long. And I've tried to pare it down to be meaningful to today and what I was the point I was trying to get across. And then back when Bob and Dan first asked me to preach on this day, I started praying about what they wanted me to share. And then in the business meeting, Bob shared that we should all share and be encouraged to share our testimony public. And that just was confirmation to me that this is what I was supposed to do today. Why do we share our testimony? And that's to glorify God and not ourselves. As it says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So my hope today is that first and foremost, God is glorified. Secondly, maybe what I share, what I went through in my walk, will speak to you and maybe spark something in your relationship with God. I also hope to highlight the gospel message, as every testimony should, and I hope I did that. I sprinkled that in there. And I also hope that you will all get to know me a little better and why I am the way I am, and yeah, we'll go from there. So, here we go. I was brought up in Hope Valley, not far from here. Attended First Baptist Church there since 5 years old, right, with my family. But as a teen, I would say my church attendance wavered for various reasons I won't go into, but was probably limited to Christmas and Easter, as many people who call themselves Christians, that's about all they go. But Deb and I met my freshman year in college, at the end of the freshman year of college, when a friend of mine took me up to Rhode Island College. I was going to URI. We were both going to University of Rhode Island. But he took me up to Rhode Island College to what they called a mixer, which was like an end-of-semester dance. It was during that time I met Deb, and we both discovered we were American Baptists. In this state of Rhode Island, it was heavily Catholic. Two American Baptists met. We did find out we had a lot in common. and were pretty much inseparable from the get-go, and knew that we had a special, very special relationship from the time we met. And I think if you ask her, she probably would agree with that. As we were dating, we went to church in Providence with her parents every Sunday, just about. I think more for the dinner after church, because they were taking us to lunch every time, and it was like, this is great. But with all that, we were hearing the Word of God. Whenever we went to church, we heard the Word of God on a regular basis while we were in college, but I think I can speak for both of us. Neither of us really had Jesus. We never fully accepted Jesus into our hearts. We were not living for Christ. But God, one of my favorite two words in the Bible, but God, was watching over us and calling us. We were just not seeing it. One of the most memorable things he showed us, after we looked back on it years later, was at our wedding. Many of you have probably seen a unity candle lighting at a wedding where the bride and the groom take two candles and they light the candle in the middle and the flame goes up. Well, we did that. We took the two candles, we lit them, the flame dimmed. It was imperceivable. And the pastor leaned over and spoke to us and said, "It's okay, you can light it again." Well, just about the time he said that, our soloist started singing, "Our Father who art in heaven." And just then, that flame just grew in unison with the singing. We looked back and we just both, that was God. God was giving us a God wink. The pastor just said, "Whoa." fast forward a few years, that was 87, right? A few years later, 1991, we were living in Connecticut and our beautiful daughter Sophie was born. Again, we were still not going to church on a regular basis. We would go to Christmas and Easter. We had Sophie dedicated because that was what we do. You know, we knew that we should do that. But we were still playing church. No real relationship with Jesus. Then the big guy over there was born, Andrew. Sophie was three. And Deb had it on her heart that, you know, Sophie really should start getting exposed to the Word, to Sunday school, just the way we were when we were younger. So she started traveling back from Connecticut to Hope Valley because it was the nearest church that we were familiar with. I still had family there. And she became involved with junior choir, Christmas plays in Hope Valley. I was still not going. It wasn't a priority in my life. I stayed home taking care of Andrew most Sundays. Once in a while we'd go, but not very frequently. 1997, we moved back to Rhode Island and into the house where Kate and Monty, well, Kate's not here, but little Monty's back there. We had that house built, we moved into it, and by this point, 1997, Deb was, I'd say, on fire for Christ. She had been growing in her relationship with him through that church in Hope Valley, but I still was not doing that. It took me about four more years in 2001 before I made a decision to be baptized, but I mean, I was growing in little baby steps. However, I still didn't fully understand what it meant to be in Christ. But then a series of events started happening that did open my eyes and change how I perceived Christ. As you know, on September 11th, 2001, World Trade Center, right? Many churches started having prayer gatherings. First Baptist was no exception to that. We started praying and pushing in and really wondering why this was happening and looking for answers. And I was one of those people looking for answers of why God would let this happen. Matter of fact, on the same night we went to the first prayer meeting over there for that, my parents told me that my brother, and this was another thing that where God just was revealing himself to me, my brother was diagnosed with a tumor on his ankle that the doctor believed would result in that leg or the foot and possibly the whole leg being amputated because the MRI showed that tumor just totally entangled all around that ankle. So another prayer group that we were a part of, our praise and prayer, Sunday night praise and prayer group, started praying fervently for that ankle. He went in for his surgery and the doctor slid open his ankle, tumor just jumped out at her. That's the way it was described to me. So I didn't, but there was no attachment to his ankle. He's never had any other complications. Miracles happen. that was a miracle that was used mightily in my life. Another time, also during this time, there was two people that started attending First Baptist Church who had a significant effect on my walk with Jesus. They were actually retired teachers from Cherokee. I'd actually had one for biology in 10th grade, but they were both part of that prayer group. And what was significant about them was they started talking to me about the Holy Spirit in a way I had never heard. I mean, in all my years of attending American Baptist churches, I'd never heard what the Holy Spirit really was. We heard about him, you know, we sang about him, but never really what he meant to us in our lives. But this couple started talking to me and told me about how the Holy Spirit indwells us. And that that piece of my relationship with Jesus was missing. A few months later, in the beginning of 2002, Deb and I were praying. I'm keeping with those miracle themes. for a friend who was going into the hospital for a double mastectomy. We were praying for God to send her angels to comfort her during that procedure. And I don't know why God chose this particular night to do this, but he entered our prayer time in a way that was amazing. It was a very tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in that room. Because I had been seeking and asking, he came. I believe it was at this point I finally surrendered to the Holy Spirit within me, and now he was starting that change within me. He was speaking to me about things I needed to do. The main thing I needed to do was repent. I had 36 years of sin in my life that I had never asked for forgiveness for, things I had forgotten about that I had never asked for forgiveness for. And all those years of church, going to church, I'd never heard that I should repent even, you know. I wasn't getting it. If it was said, I never heard it. But that night, my eyes were open. The scales fell off. That night, I recognized that I was a sinner in need of God's forgiveness and his grace. That night in prayer time, I finally got it. In all my drawing close to God and seeing his hand move in my life, I had never surrendered and repented. I had not asked him to help me turn from those sins. I didn't even realize that some of the things that I was doing were sins. That night he removed, that Christ came to this earth, he died for my sins, and raised again on the third day so that I could be redeemed and have eternal life. And I finally got it that night. Psalm 139 is my favorite psalm. You can see it in my email, dakps139. I regularly reflect on it, especially those last two verses, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Like, one of the reasons that my favorite psalm is because of those two verses and what happened after that night. I spent literally 2 weeks asking each and every night for God's forgiveness for the things. I was very specific of everything. He brought to mind those things that I was doing that did not please him, that were sins, and I asked for forgiveness, and it was a long list. It took 2 weeks to purge. Oh, and it was an amazing time. I would say a lot of them were small. You know, I broke a knife. I didn't tell anybody about it. Dad would have been upset. I hit it, you know, that was that thing. But some were big. And the biggest, and I apologize to my kids, was Hanker. And I know that, I wasn't expecting to say that. But I do ask for forgiveness for them, from them as well, that there were things that I said and did, and my actions were from anger. I had a hair trigger that just was crazy. And you can ask them about it. But that night, he virtually took it away. During those 2 weeks, he took that away. There are still remnants there, here and there. But God has given me the ability to see them and to stop those bumps when they come. And I always, it comes to mind is Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin, but do not let the sun go down on my anger. And that when those times have come up, I go to that verse and just, yeah, ask for forgiveness. One little side note, I want to go back to the person we were praying for that night. we were asking for angels to be sent to her. God did send her an angel prior to her surgery. A person dressed as a nurse spoke to her prior to her surgery and gave her comfort in a way that she just had peace during the surgery and afterwards. She went and she actually asked for that person afterwards. No one knew who it was. There was very distinguishing things, the way she was dressed, her fingernails, the color of her skin, everything. She described it, and no one knew who it was. So Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels do walk among us, people, and they are watching over us, and I am so grateful for that. Since that time, my hunger and thirst for God and his word has not grown cold. It has only grown stronger with each passing day. Shortly after, I mean, in 2005, we came here, and it's just even blossomed beyond that. And I just, again, that's part of the teaching of this church. The pastors from Don and Mike and Bob and Dan, and it's been an amazing journey here. And I love the scripture. I love the word. And I hope to share more and more about that from up here with you all. Again, there's much more to my testimony than this, but we don't have time today. my hope is that for parts that I have shared today will encourage you to reflect on your relationship with Christ. Examine your hearts. Are you all in? Have you repented of your sins, past and your present sins? Are you asking God for what he can do for you, or are you asking what you can do for him is another thing that really changed me, and that's my mission heart, and Deb too. We have that heart for missions. We want to do all that we can for God, and for what Jesus did for us. I asked Kate to do that last song, Waymaker, because of a couple of lines that are in there. You are here. God is here with us, or he's always here. Never forget that. And you go to Philippians 4, the end of verse 5 and into to 6, where it says, he is near, be anxious for nothing. Take comfort in knowing he's here. And even when we don't know it, he's working. You know, all those years, all those things that I did, God was watching. I should not be standing up here today. I should be dead. There are many times I put myself in situations that I should not have, and I shouldn't be here. And I know some of you have been through that type of thing as well, and I just hope that things I've said can encourage you to just press into God. I'm going to go back to Psalm 139 just to read in sort of in closing here as verses 1 through 12 of 139. It says, Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. They are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. No matter where we are or where we go, God is there. We cannot escape his presence. We can take comfort in that, or we can fear that. For me, it's a little of both. The fear part is that reverential fear, knowing that he sees everything I do, the good and the bad. Makes me think, makes me consider, not ponder. We can't hide anything from him. So we need to ask for forgiveness. And that's the message of my story, of my salvation is through that forgiveness that I just gave to him and asked from him, excuse me. So this morning I pray and hope that what I have said here is an encouragement to all of you, no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus. May the peace of God be with you as you all go out from here today and into the rest of your week. God bless you all. I'm so happy to be here and to be speaking with my family. Thank you for listening this morning.